This is the Navigating Adult ADHD podcast, here to help you navigate and thrive with ADHD in adulthood. I'm your host, Zena, and I was diagnosed at age 36. As with many ADHDers, I have a rebellious and nonconformist style. And that means that there will likely be swearing in the coming episode. Please be mindful of any little people. Hello, my beautiful friends. And first of all, depending on when you're listening to this, it is being released basically Christmas Day of 2023. I might actually put it out Boxing Day. But all of that to say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And if you're listening to this in June, never mind. Either way, I do want to say a huge thank you to every single one of you who has listened to this podcast. I do really appreciate you guys, and I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. So thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing it with fellow ADHDers. And just a reminder, if you haven't actually grabbed your copy of the 12 things that I wished my doctor had told me about ADHD, that is a great resource. You can get it for free over on my website. 12 things that I think are really important to know and understand when you are newly diagnosed with ADHD and on this journey. So just a reminder, go and grab that. So this time of year, it is, you know, wrapping up the end of 2023. We're looking at 2024. I think this topic is incredibly relevant. Goal setting, how to set, achieve, and actually maintain a goal, especially when we have ADHD. So first of all, let's think about this. What is your relationship like with goals? Put another way, what is your relationship like with creating and making changes in your life? Most of us, we have this love-hate relationship with goals. And when I say love-hate, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. But for me, I love the dopamine release of setting goals and thinking about these, you know, wonderful new things that I want to do or create or become. So there's a real dopamine attachment in that. But there's also the other end of the scale where when we don't achieve it or we lose interest or we keep setting it over and over again, it can have a real negative kind of attachment, or we can have a very negative relationship with creating changes and achieving goals. How many times have you set a goal only to lose momentum or forget about it entirely or end up right back where you started? Now, if you're anything like me, maybe it's too many times to count. As I said, I've always loved this time of year. I am a huge fan of Christmas. I love the new year, especially here in New Zealand. We have a summer Christmas, and I love summer. I love sunshine. I love the warmth. So I enjoy this time of year. I love decorating the house and seeing the little people and their faces light up with all the joy that Christmas brings. But it kind of brings about this, you know, sense of what's possible, I think, this time of year. What's possible? You know, what changes could we make? What new things could we do in 2024? There's a lot of possibility, and I love that feeling of possibility. But for most of my life, I will, you know, set all of these goals and you know, get a new notebook. This is how I did it. I would get a new notebook and I would write a big list of New Year's resolutions on the front page, okay? And then by about mid-February, maybe even early February, the high of the dopamine had worn off and I would be right back where I was, doing the same stuff, having not maintained any changes, not really made any progress. Now, studies show that 80% of people have given up on their New Year's resolutions by mid-February. Isn't that a wild number? And based on my own experience, I'm surprised the number's not higher, if I'm completely honest. Now, as I've said, us ADHDers, we get a dopamine high from setting a goal and imagining what life will be like when we actually achieve it. That is very pleasurable and joyful for our brain. Then often there's some initial excitement and novelty when we start taking action towards the goal. Now, I always see this with a planner, like, over the years, and I've stopped doing this now, but over the years, I would buy like a new planner or, you know, a new system that I would use. And there's a real novelty and excitement in using that the first few times. But then that novelty wears off and the action slowly starts to stop. Okay, because we're not really getting the same dopamine anymore. And as soon as it becomes less exciting, or perhaps taking action becomes boring and too repetitive or too hard, or we just don't feel like taking action anymore, we often resort back to our old ways, or perhaps we go off and chase something else entirely. So, as I said, I used to buy that brand new notebook and I would write a list of New Year's resolutions every year on the front page of that book, and it would sound something like, you know, lose X amount of kgs. So lose weight, get in shape, make more money and travel. And there would be like this huge list of like 10 to 20 things. And I'd always start out with that Nike slogan approach of just do it. Only to find that notebook months later and I would look at it and be like, oh shit, that's right. And realize that somewhere along the way I'd lost interest or it had become too hard and I really hadn't made much progress at all, and perhaps I had made progress, but then I'd resorted back to my old ways. Maybe you too can relate to that. You know, setting the same thing over and over, year after year, feeling discouraged because you never reach it or you never maintain it. And then often, and this is what I hear from a lot of people, is like, what's the point? That's kind of how I feel in my brain. Sometimes it's like, I'm kind of resigned. It's like, what's the point? And sometimes having a negative association to goals because we have beat ourselves up so many times for setting it over and over and not achieving it, or perhaps for giving up or thinking that we just don't have what it takes. And often our self-worth can get tangled up in that. And sometimes we can have this not good enough feeling attached to goals, and it can really tangle our relationship and create quite a negative relationship to setting goals. Also, so many of us have given up setting goals or have this vague idea of what we want to achieve and what we want to do, but we haven't actually committed to it, or we haven't sat down to plan out how we're going to do that, when we're going to do that, and do the work that is actually required to achieve a goal. And that's what we're going to talk about today, my friends. Okay, I got you. Now, one thing that's really crucial when we talk about goal setting, and this took me a fucking long time to embrace. I'm just going to say it like it is. It took me a really long time to embrace this when it came to goal setting. And that is the element of discomfort that is necessary in order to achieve the goal. In order to make the change, there is an element of discomfort, being physically uncomfortable, that is necessary. So just today, I was actually talking to another ADHDer who said to me, as soon as it gets too hard and as soon as I have to make a decision about something, I just give up and I go play games on my phone. And maybe you can relate to that too. And I know that the reality is that I haven't done it yet because, you know, whatever, and when I say it, whatever it is you're wanting to change. So a lot of women at the moment I'm hearing wanting to lose weight, and that's one I can definitely relate to. So whatever it is you're wanting to change, maybe it's you want to, you know, change your eating habits and your exercise habits and you do want to lose some weight. Maybe it's that you want to find someone to share your life with. Okay, that was me a while back, and that was something that I have created in my life. So the reality is that we don't yet have the thing we want because it's going to require us to do hard things. It's going to potentially require us to do things we haven't done before or we haven't done successfully, air quotes, yet. And what that all means is it's going to be uncomfortable, okay? When it comes to achieving the goal, it may require it to feel hard, to feel scary, for us to feel perhaps self-doubt, to feel fear, to feel confused, to feel uncertain. Now, I know for me in the past, when I have been working towards a goal and I have experienced those emotions, I have made it mean that something is wrong, that I don't have what it takes, that I'll, you know what, I should just do it later because I don't feel like it right now, which has resulted in me putting it off and eventually quitting or giving up entirely. Because I wasn't expecting that discomfort, or I made the discomfort mean something was wrong, you know, or I should just do it later because I didn't feel like it. And that is something that I have become very aware of in my brain now. Okay, so all of that to say that I've learned that it's uncomfortable to not have what you want. Okay, so say for example, if we go back to the weight loss example, if you do want to have a smaller body, it's uncomfortable being in perhaps an oversized body or a body that, you know, when you look in the mirror, you say mean things to yourself. That's uncomfortable. But what's equally as uncomfortable is taking the action required to achieve the goal. Okay, I think we can all agree on that. I know when I was single and I wanted to find somebody to share my life with, and I was enjoying my life, and I had a great life, and I'd been single for about 10 years. Now, I didn't at the time know that there was an element of RSD and my fear of rejection and criticism tied up in that. I wasn't yet diagnosed with ADHD and I didn't yet realize I had it. However, I also knew when I decided, you know what, I'd like to find someone to share life with and decide if that's what I want to keep doing, if be on my own or be with someone in a relationship. And I knew that it would require me to potentially experience rejection and criticism and put myself out there. And that shit was really terrifying to me, right? But it was uncomfortable being single and wanting to be in a relationship. That was hard. And I started to experience being lonely and kind of wondering what it would be like and feel like I was missing out. That was uncomfortable. But also taking the action, going on dates, putting myself out there online, on dating apps, meeting somebody for the first time. So awkward, by the way. All of that was uncomfortable too. But one of those discomforts gets you what you want and the other doesn't. Okay. Now, I will say that having built out my emotional regulation tool belt and having a variety of ways that I can support and soothe my emotions when doing difficult, hard things like that has really, really helped. Because there are times when I am feeling self-doubt or I have anxiety as I walk into a room to give a talk or host a workshop, and I have the ability to manage that discomfort, allow my emotions, and keep going, rather than using it as a reason to give up or change my goal entirely. So let's just go through a couple of things that we need to get straight before we set some goals together, okay? First of all, goals are never punishments, okay? The only reason to set a goal is to know that we are heading in the direction that we want to go. Okay, if we want to make changes in our life, we need to be clear about which way we're heading. And I'm going to talk about that a bit more in a moment. But there are going to be failures and fuck-ups along the way, right? It's called a fuck-up because you automatically level up, by the way. We'll talk about that in another episode. But we will fail, we will fuck up, and that's great because all of that is information about what works and what doesn't work so that we can help, you know, firm up the correct direction that we need to keep going in, right? All of that is great because we're human. It's going to happen. It's perfect. We can use that information and help ourselves to keep moving towards the goal, okay? Goals are also not something to be afraid of, and I see this one a bit. The only reason this happens is because of what we make it mean about ourselves if we don't hit the goal. Right? I'm a failure. I'm a fuck up. I don't have what it takes. I'm not good enough. All of that shit, that story, that mean stuff that we say to ourselves if we don't hit the goal. No. Goals are not a measurement of our self-worth. Okay? It's just information that we gather along the way. Now, another thing that I have learned the hard way time and time and time again, and I don't do this now, but I did for many years, trust me, is setting like 30 goals at once. So I'd get my notebook and write down a huge list of goals. Setting 30 goals at once and thinking that everything needs to go from here to perfect in usually a very narrow window of time, right? Our inability to calculate time. I can't think of the word. It has escaped me. Oh my God. But our challenges with time and, you know, our perception of time can lead to us thinking that we can do 30 things in like 2 months, you know, like, trust me, I've done this so many times. But my point is that setting that many goals and trying to divide our attention in so many different places, it's like we don't just have one destination on a map. It's like we've got 30. And that is very hard to manage and navigate and do all at once. Okay. So instead, our goals should be thoughtful and focused, meaning I would recommend anywhere between 1 up to 4, 5 max, but I try and stick to around 3. Okay. And then what we want to realize is that when we set out to change who we are, which is part of this, is change our identity and who we are in the process and become the person who has achieved that goal, that actually has a ripple effect throughout our lives. Okay, so when we achieve our goal and when we, you know, change who we are in the process, that has a positive ripple effect throughout many different areas of our life. So what that means is some of the smaller goals that you might write on that list may actually be a part of that ripple effect. Okay, but dividing your attention in 30 different ways is not going to make any of it happen faster. Okay, we got enough attention, you know, divides going on in our brains. We don't need to add more by trying to put way too many goals on our list, okay? Now, I'm going to share a quick story with you because it's really relevant to the way I want to teach goal setting, okay? When I was in Australia recently, I went to this huge mall in Cairns, okay? So tropical North Queensland, Cairns. And I was wandering around by myself and I found this huge, huge mall. And I wanted to find this store that I had found earlier in the year when I was in the Gold Coast, and it was a store, I think it was called Suzanne. Anyway, it's one that we don't have here in New Zealand. And when I was in Australia, I'd bought 2 beautiful, brightly colored jumpers in this store. And so I went to Cairns and I was like, great, there's a mall. I want to see if they've got this store because I really want to have a look in there. Now, this mall, I walked in, it was 2 stories. Okay, I walked into the ground floor. Now, there were shops as far as I could see to my left. There were also shops as far as I could see to my right. Then in front of me, there were escalators that went upstairs and a bunch of shops upstairs as far as I could see. And past those escalators on the bottom level, there were more shops for maybe another 150, 200 meters. Okay. There were shops friggin' everywhere. This place looked huge. Now, I knew the name of the shop, okay, so I knew where I wanted to go. I knew which entrance I had come in and where I was currently standing. But what I didn't know was where that shop was in the mall or how to get there. So what I did is I went and found one of those mall maps, okay? So you picture one of those big mall maps and they've got the "you are here," like they've got like a little, you know, symbol that says "you are here" on the map. Okay, then I looked in the store directory, found the one I wanted, and I figured out where it was on the map. So that was kind of my star, my destination on the map. So what I did was I looked at the quickest route to get there, and I started heading in that direction. Okay, now, along the way, I got distracted. Of course I did. There were so many cool shops. I got distracted, and you know, I went in the odd shop, and then I came back out, but I kept heading in that general direction for the store, Suzanne's, that I wanted to visit. Now, eventually, I found another mall map, and when I looked at that mall map, I could see, oh shit, I've actually missed my turn off. So I need to backtrack, I need to go back a slightly different way, and then off to that one side, and eventually I made it to the store. Okay, hooray. I brought a gorgeous purple blazer on sale. It was only $30, and it's stunning, and I've never seen anything like it here in New Zealand, which really excites me, and I enjoyed browsing all of their brightly colored, beautiful clothes. Okay, huge dopamine in that. Loved it. So, what does that have to do with goals? Good question. In order to achieve your goal, you need to know what done looks like. Okay. Firstly, you need to know where you're starting. Okay. Where we are on the map. But we also need to know where we're going. Okay. And where our destination is on that map. Now, many ADHDers can struggle with, what does done look like? Paint done is such a great question for us to ask our employer when we're confused. Can you paint done for me so I know what to do, right? So we need to be clear about how we will know we've achieved the goal and we have made it, okay? As I said, ADHDers can have a difficult time taking action and making progress when we don't know what the outcome should look like. I heard a great example of this the other day from a mum with a child in school who struggled to get ready for school every day. And when they were able to identify that this was a challenge with his ADHD, what they did is they took a photo of him in his uniform and another photo with his school bag and the items that went in the bag. And then every day, what he had to do was he had to look at his photos of done. He put on his uniform, that was done. And then he put his items in his school bag, and that was done. When he was visually able to see what done was look like, he was able to recreate that day after day. He just needed that visual cue. He needed to know the destination that he was heading for. Okay. Now, this also illustrates the importance of having goals. Because when we don't know where we are heading or what we're aiming for, what we want to achieve or change, we end up going in circles, changing nothing, going nowhere, living the same day over and over, and not creating the life that we want to live, the life that we want to live, because we're not being deliberate about it. Okay? And perhaps we don't even know what it looks like. We need to articulate that. So, another really important thing with goals is to choose a goal that scares you, but not one that terrifies you. The way I like to demonstrate this is I will use my whiteboard in coaching and teaching sessions, and I will draw a circle. Okay, so I'll draw a small circle on a piece of paper, and I'll write CZ in that circle, and the CZ stands for comfort zone. Okay, that is your comfort zone. That little circle on a piece of paper is your comfort zone. Then I will draw a bigger circle outside of that one, and I will write GZ for growth zone. Okay, then I will do another circle outside of that, and I will write TZ, and that is your scared shitless, or in this case, terrified zone. Okay, so if you can picture those three circles, okay, a small one, comfort zone, slightly bigger one, that is your growth zone, and then the bigger one again is your scared shitless, terrified zone. Okay. We want to set goals in our growth zone because they do require us to grow, yes, but they don't cause us to freeze or to quit completely because they're so fucking terrifying. Okay? So for example, one year I decided that I was going to set the goal of making $1 million. And to put that in context, back then when I set that goal, I was making roughly $50,000 a year in my business. Okay? Now, the goal for me of making $1 million, that was in my scared, shitless, and terrified zone. Yes, it sounded like an amazing, wonderful, great idea to my brain, and there was lots of dopamine, but the reality was, as soon as I sat down to think about it and take action, I was paralyzed. It was terrifying. It was too much. So in that instance, a growth zone goal might have been to double my revenue, just, you know, a goal of making 100K. That would have been a goal that would have fitted comfortably into my growth zone. It would have required me to get outside of my comfort zone, to do things I hadn't done before, to grow, to leave my comfort zone for sure. But it wasn't going to paralyze me by putting myself into that terrified zone. Okay. All right, my friends, I'm going to take you through my 5-step goal setting process, how I set goals, how I achieve them and maintain them, and the process that I teach my clients as well when we work together. Then I'm going to take you through a goal that I have set for 2024. I'm going to walk you through how I'm using this process. And don't disconnect yet, because some of the best stuff I have saved for last. We're going to talk about some of the things that are really important to know when it comes to making permanent changes in your life, okay? We're going to go through some stuff. So first of all, my 5-step goal setting process. Number one is paint done, okay? I'm going to go through each of them and then we'll come back and we'll talk about them. Number two is map out the how. Number three is you've got a plan, and planning includes planning for setbacks and obstacles, okay? Number four is embody your new identity. And number five is checking in often. This is the evaluation, the making alterations to the plan, and the celebrating. Okay. So starting at the top, number one, paint done. A great question I like to ask is, how will you know when you have achieved this goal? How will you know you've achieved it? What does done look like? And how are you going to measure and track that you are moving in the right direction? So for example, if a client comes to me and says, hey, I want to increase my confidence. Okay, great. What does done look like? How are you going to know that you've increased your confidence? Paint that picture for me. What will be different in your life? And they might say to me, oh, okay, well, I will stand up for myself in certain situations, or specifically at work, or I will raise my hand and share my ideas, or, you know, I'll stop saying yes to all this extra work that they keep trying to give me, right? And how are you going to measure and track that? I'll often encourage somebody to use a scale. How would you rate your confidence now on a scale of 1 to 10? They might say, oh, it's actually like a 3. I'll be like, great, tell me why and let's capture that, okay? And what's it going to look like when it's at that 10 out of 10? What's the difference between where you are now and then, right? So there, we're painting done. Number 2 is map the how, right? This is the part where you map out how you will achieve the goal, okay? So back to that mall map that I referred you guys to when I was in Cairns and I was trying to find that shop. How are you going to go from where you are now to your destination on that map, okay? Now, you don't necessarily need to know exactly how, but you need to come up with some ideas. If you did know how, what could it be? Or where could you start? Or who is somebody else who has achieved this? Could you ask them, what do you think they did, right? There is Google, ChatGPT. I guarantee you can get answers for anything online these days. How is not the problem, okay? Come up with even a rough plan, a rough draft. Draw your map of how you will achieve this. Now, here's a very important point. You have to include dopamine, joy, and fun. Don't make this plan fucking horrible, okay? So we need to remember that we have a brain that loves dopamine and will prioritize joyful, fun, enjoyable things above all else. So if your plan is very ruthless and hard and awful, no, you've got to include joyful, fun activities. When I map out my week, for example, when I go into my calendar, I always plan things that I want to do and things that I enjoy before I put my work and, you know, working towards my goals in there. Because otherwise, I know that my brain is going to be way more resistant and way more likely to try and sabotage me when it comes time to taking action. Okay. Number 3, plan for setbacks and obstacles. Okay. One question I love to ask people is, have you tried to achieve this goal before? And if so, why weren't you able to achieve it? Like, what were the challenges and the obstacles? Okay. And what are the challenges and the obstacles that you foresee? This is a really good time to use that negative Nancy part of your brain, right? The part that's always like, oh, I don't know if I can. And what if this happens and goes to the worst case, right? Get that part of your brain and let it go to town. Okay, pull in negative Nancy's help. You know, what are all of the problems, the obstacles, the setbacks that you foresee? Have you tried to achieve it before? If you have, like, what were the challenges? What stops you from working towards it right now? What are the things you think will be hard? What might get in your way? What might be an excuse that you will use? All right, put your negative brain to work. Now, you also want to come up with solutions to each of those obstacles. Expect it's going to happen, and how are you going to handle each one when it arises? One of the things that I love to do in here when we start talking about setbacks and obstacles is I think it's very important to anchor in your why and the meaning that you have to this goal. What does achieving this goal mean to you? Because this is going to be a very useful thing to refer to, because one of the obstacles you're going to face is your brain's like, I don't feel like it. I don't want to. I actually want to go do something else instead. That's going to be an obstacle that's going to happen. But when we have such a strong why, and not just one reason, I'm talking multiple reasons of what this goal and achieving this goal and making this change in our life, what that means to us. When we have such a strong anchor and attachment to that, we can do things even when we don't feel like it, when we don't want to, okay? It makes taking action towards the goal when we're experiencing that cognitive dissonance, like the discomfort, let's say, it makes taking that action much easier. One question I love to ask myself is, what is the ripple effect of me achieving this goal? So one of my goals this year, which I'll share with you in a moment, the ripple effect is huge amongst the community and the neurodivergent people, especially in our country. And it's such a positive ripple effect. And I'll go into that in a minute. But that really helps me to think outside of myself even about how so many other people will benefit from me doing this work and achieving this goal. Okay. Number four is embodying your new identity. The reality is that the person you are now will need to change into a different version of you. You're still you, right? But your identity will need to change in order to achieve that goal. So think about, how will your identity be different when you get there? How are you already in some ways living as that person? To give you an example of this, in terms of my experience of weight loss, when it came to finally getting to a place where I was comfortable in my body and with the weight that I had to identify as a person who loved the body that she had and was happy to be, quote unquote, slightly over the BMI, whatever you call it, healthy weight range. Like, I love the body I have. I'm happy with the weight I am. I love the forms of exercise I do. But I had to change the way I thought about myself. I had to change the way I thought about my relationship with food. I had to change the way I thought about my relationship with exercise. I used to be somebody who punished themselves with exercise and punished themselves with food and beat themselves up all the time. In order to achieve the goal that I had with regards to my body, I had to change my relationship and the way I identified with food and exercise and diet and all of that. Okay. So it's about the identity that you need to embody to become the person who has that thing. So it's changing the way you think and feel about yourself, changing the way you think and feel about the activity, perhaps. Because if you're wanting to be the person who runs every day and you hate running, that's not going to work. You need to identify as somebody who enjoys that activity, as somebody who wants to do that thing. You might need to change your identity to, you know, if you're wanting to do a marathon, I'm a runner, right? You would need to identify as, I'm a runner, or I'm a healthy person, or I'm a fit person. That needs to become your identity to achieve and maintain that goal. Number five, check in often. So this is where we evaluate what's working, what's not working, why, and what do I need to do differently? And we need to do this regularly to make sure that we're on track. Because imagine if I was heading for that store and I hadn't checked into that second store map, you know, when I was in Cairns trying to find my Suzanne store. If I hadn't found that next map, I would have kept going and way overshot it and ended up, I think I would have ended up down in the Kmart down the end there. But what that means is we need to check in, we need to evaluate our progress, see what's working, because we want to celebrate what's working, right? Look at what's not working and where we can make some changes. This is a very valuable part of the process, and it also gives our brain some much needed dopamine when we get to celebrate what's working, how far we've come, and we can look back. You know, imagine if you're climbing a ladder and you can like look down and go, holy shit, I've actually come quite a long way, because I just keep looking up and seeing it's forever to go, but actually I've come a really long way. That's an important part of this process as well for our ADHD brains, and giving them that much needed reward, pleasure, dopamine. Okay. So to roughly go through this with one of my goals this year is to run 10, minimum of 10, group workshops in communities. It can also be in schools or workplaces, but 10 workshops where I help people to better understand neurodiversity and how to be supportive and inclusive of neurodiversity in our community and in our workplaces. Okay. So that is a goal that I have. So again, I'm taking myself through this process. Paint done. How will I know I have achieved this goal? I will have held 10 workshops, and I will have run this process that I have. I think for me, it's pretty clear to see like what done looks like in this. Okay. And also I will be feeling really good about the impact that I'm having in the neurodiverse community, and, you know, being able to support people better and share what I know and share what I think is really important out in the world. Right. So I can paint done for that pretty well. Map out the how. Okay. So for my goal, how am I going to achieve this? So I have written a huge list, and I haven't yet taken it to my calendar because my wall planner, I put it up yesterday. It fell off the wall already, but one of my tasks between now and the new year is to map it all out on the calendar. But I've started by like doing a brain dump of all of the things that I think I could do in order to achieve this. So, you know, for example, at Toastmasters, I have a few contacts of people in the community, one who is a head of a school, you know, people in corporate workplaces, and I'm going to speak to them because they've already indicated some interest about me coming in and working, running it in these environments. So I'm going to approach them first. Then I've got a list of other businesses that I can approach. Then I'm also going to like look at doing social media and sharing it on social media. I need to update my website. I've gone through and made a list of all of the different hows, all of the different ways that I can get to the destination. And I won't necessarily use all of them, but I'm going to go through and kind of put them into some logical kind of an order as to what I think is going to create the outcome I want the quickest, and I'll start with that, okay? Then planning for the setbacks and the obstacles. I know for me that I am going to be scared. I'm going to be scared when I run the first one because I haven't run one of these first. I'm going to do a pilot, which will be a free one first. But I'm going to be scared. I'm going to be anxious. I'm going to try and perfect it. I am going to overthink it, and I may try and even talk myself out of it, right? So those are all things that I have written on my list of obstacles, and then I'm going to go through and I'm going to have a plan for each and every one. And as I said before, I have started to ask myself the question, and I, as you can tell, I haven't finished doing this process yet, but I did a quick draft because I wanted to use it for this, to share with you all on this episode. But I have gone through and spent quite a bit of time thinking about my why and the ripple effect of me achieving that goal. So yes, running 10 of these workshops is awesome and it will be, you know, a source of income for me. That's great. But also it's going to help me to spread the word amongst our workplaces and our communities of what it's like to live with neurodivergence and what that looks like. Because so many people have this singular vision of what it is like, you know, young boys at school only have ADHD, or people with, you know, autism are weird and different or highly intelligent and, you know, singular focused. Like there's these, you know, strong associations that I want to like break that up, and I want to get in there and encourage people to think differently. And I want to tell them that there's so much more to neurodivergence than just ADHD and autism. But yes, let's talk about those, and let's talk about the realities of what it's like to live with those and how these things are so useful in a workplace, and how we can actually better help our people with neurodivergence in the community and in the workplace so that we can all ultimately thrive. Right. So I could talk about this for ages because I'm super passionate, but looking at the ripple effect of me achieving that and what it means for our neurodiverse people, but also our neurotypical people, our communities as a whole, our workplaces, everything. Okay. When I think about embodying the new identity, how will my identity be different when I have run, so when I go straight to done, right? When I've run these 10 workshops, how will my identity be different? And how am I already in some ways living that? Well, I can see how I'm in some ways already living that. I am, you know, coaching and working with a lot of people, all the people I work with now who have neurodivergence and specifically ADHD. But I will be having more of a ripple effect in their families, in their communities, in their workplaces. How will my identity be different? So the way I think about myself isn't just that I will be a coach. It is, I am a coach and a facilitator. I am a person who hosts workshops for neurodivergence. I've already started to introduce myself. I met a couple of new people last week and I started to tell them about this and introduce myself as a person who already does that. So that is part of me embodying the new identity. In terms of the checking in often, so I have put in my calendar at the beginning of every month, I think it's the first Monday of every month at 10 a.m. I've put it in my calendar that I'm going to be checking in on my 3 goals for the year. I've already created a spreadsheet so that I can track things and see what's working, what's not working. I have a process I take myself through where I ask various questions, I get information, make changes to the plan, and also I get to acknowledge and celebrate how far I've come. Right. So when I do that first workshop, I'll be sure as shit celebrating that. Right. But making sure that I'm checking in often, I've already put that into my plan. Okay. All right. So that's the 5-step process. But let's talk about making changes in our life permanently and maintaining our goals, here are a few things that are very important to know. Change is not something you wish for or hope for, okay? That's the whole Nike slogan, just do it. If that worked, we would all be in a very different place, okay? Change is something we prepare for, meaning that we have to plan, okay? And you can get dopamine from planning, trust me. Now, here's another way to think about this. You wouldn't renovate your kitchen without having a technical drawing done, a blueprint, and a construction plan, okay? You wouldn't do that. So why on earth would you renovate your entire life with that same regard? We've got to draw the map, okay? Another important thing is change itself isn't hard. The hard part is the ambivalence that we have, meaning the discomfort and the mixed feelings that we must experience when we're changing, that is the hard part, okay? Change brings up all of the big feels. It really does. And it requires us to have a variety of approaches for managing our emotions so that those big feelings don't lead us to quit or to sabotage or to get set back. Also, you can't change what you're doing without changing who you are being. Okay, that's the identity piece. You've got to explore your current identity and who you need to become to make that new change your new normal. If change isn't compelling, if your goal isn't compelling, you're not going to stick with it when shit gets tough. And it will get tough, okay? Research shows that the action phase of change often takes 6 months of intentional and deliberate effort in order to maintain. So as I said, it's very important that we create a compelling and powerful why, and we look at the ripple effect in our, you know, in our families, in our communities, in our workplaces of us achieving that goal. Change isn't just a destination, okay? It's a journey, and it's a lot more motivating. Thank you, motorbike. It's a lot more motivating when you focus on how far you've come rather than how far you've got to go, okay? Again, if you are, you know, climbing up a ladder, when you are looking up going, oh my God, I've got so far to go, all it takes is for you to look down and go, holy shit, I've actually come a really long way. I'm proud of myself because that was really hard, okay? You need to create a system, as I said, to track the mini milestones to keep your dopamine brain happy along the way. Checking in, evaluating, celebrating, looking at how far you've come. Okay? Now, if you want my help changing your life in 2024, then I invite you to come and work with me. I'm an expert in helping ADHDers to create positive and long-lasting change in their life. Okay? This is what I do. This is my work. So as a life coach, as an ADHDer, having coached thousands of women around the world, and you know, as a woman myself living with ADHD who has dramatically changed my own life, I know I can help you. And I also know what it's like to be where you're at. Okay, I know the frustration of setting the same goal over and over, beating yourself up time and time again. Let me help you. Let me teach you how to manage your mind with my cognitive coaching model. And let me teach you how to handle your emotions so that creating change and achieving your goals is so much easier. And if I'm honest, a shitload more fun with me in your corner. So jump online now and go and visit my website, zenajones.com, and book in for a free ADHD life audit. Okay? This is where to start. We'll talk about your goals. We'll talk about the changes you want to make and how we can work together to achieve that. It starts with that ADHD life audit call. Okay, let's start 2024 off with a bang. Huge love, my friends. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. And here's to 2024 being your best year yet. I'm sending you so much gratitude. Thank you for being on this journey with me. Much love to you all. Take care. Hey, friend. I know exactly what it's like to feel frustrated and confused with your ADHD and to wish that you could better understand what the hell is going on in your brain. And that's exactly why I created my coaching program, Thriving with ADHD. Inside Thriving with ADHD, you learn a step-by-step process to set and finally achieve your goals, to understand yourself and your ADHD. It's where you learn to feel better and manage your emotions and create systems and processes that work for you with your ADHD brain. This is designed for you to learn how to thrive with ADHD so you can create the life that you were meant to live. Visit zenajones.com/ADHD to learn more and book a consultation.